Google Ad Security, more Kindle, and more. This is the Android Realm Podcast, episode number 200, Candy and Fitness. So welcome back to the episode, everybody. Your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you some more exciting news in the Android universe. So I'll jump right into it. Lots of random information to get through. Good app review. It's more of a game review for a game released for Android this week. No actual post because it's... Well, the technique or the what it does isn't anything brand new. It is part of another world of stuff that was released on iOS first, but now available for Android. And then I'll round it out with this week's Chromebook quick tip, and we'll be done. So to start off with some headlines, Cyanogen Mod 11 M10 builds were released this week. So look out for that update. A couple of notable changes is that the CDMA Galaxy Nexus is no longer supported, but did add support for the Sprint Galaxy S5. So if you are looking to ROM your Samsung device, then definitely look out for that. Among other items that were updated for this week or this particular release were updates to the theme engine, framework, and settings updates, support for smart covers, bug fixes, and a few other things. So check out the Cyanogen Mod website for that full list of changes. I did update my old Captivate to it. Not much really changed for me. I don't do much with it to begin with, so it doesn't really affect me, but bug fixes and performance updates are always good no matter what kind of device you have. Google started testing a new update to how you search in your browser. So when you start doing searches in Chrome, it'll automatically fill in the results in the search itself. So if you do a search for, let's say, weather in your particular zip code, it'll provide you the current zip code in or the current weather information for that zip code right in the search results. So you don't even have to finish searching for it. It'll give it to you right away. So if you just want that quick weather result, that's one thing that it'll provide. So we'll see what other stuff rolls out, but that is one of the first things that looks like is being tested. If you are a paid developer and you're releasing your apps to Google Play, this week it seems like Google started rolling out a new update to that where the billing address needs to be shown. So I guess for verification purposes, I didn't see too much as to why this rollout is actually happening, but I didn't see too much positive feedback on the developer side. I would say that I wouldn't want my, and to clarify, I would not want my address being known, especially if it's a residential address or a place where people can get to where I am. Or I mean, and so we'll see if they change that, or maybe they just wanted to provide as verification on the developer side, but hopefully it is something that is not publicly made available. In other security news, though, Google is going to start enforcing new security certificate standards on the SH2 side of things. So they're giving a three-month deadline to upgrade from SH1 security certificate standard. So if there are websites still using the old standard, there's going to be a symbol showing that they are on old standards or outdated standards, or once the rollout starts to happen in 2017, that they are no longer a secure website. So we'll see exactly what happens. A lot of people or companies and businesses are saying that it's too soon. Others are indifferent, so we'll see how enforceable it is, or if they extend that a little bit. But from Google's side of things, they want to make sure it happens as soon as possible. And finally, for the last security-related news story for this week, Google made the announcement, but stories started surfacing this week that Android L is going to have security standards enabled by default. So this is one of those things where it locks down, or in current versions of Android, you have the option to lock down your, or basically encrypt your device, so it can only be accessed if the right passwords are installed. Well, it seems like Android L is going to have that enabled by default, so the device becomes as secure and safe as possible. As far as app news for this week, the Starbucks app was updated to now allow leaving tips for baristas, so that way it becomes more digital and easier to leave a tip. Shake to Pay was also a part of the update. I think it was a separate update, but it is also an update that is available, so look out for that. If you want to, or if you're on offline and you want to be able to continue to do searching on the web, Cosmos is an app that's supposed to release later, or not an app, but it's a service that's supposed to release later this month that allows you to generally do internet searches when you don't have a connection or it is limited and you still want to do your, or perform website searches. Google Play Services version 6.1, maybe 5.1, I might have done a typo, was leaked this week as far as providing a few various updates, mainly related to improved analytics, more drive integration, more fit updates, and a few other things coming soon, but those were the notable updates. So basically just back-end updates that allow Google Play to integrate better with other services. For those of you who use Google Play Newsstand and want to use it internationally, it expanded further into Europe and into India, so there are more countries where newspapers and magazines and those types of services can be read. OneNote got was released this week for Android, where it may have been part of last week's stories, or it was supposedly coming soon, but if you have an Android Wear device, it is now supported with OneNote. Adobe made the announcement this week that they'll be releasing a new app called EchoSign to allow you to digitally sign documents on your Android device. So if you want that additional layer of security, then that will be an option soon. If you use Textra SMS or have considered using it and want to use it with Android Wear, they added support for it. So just a small change there, but it is something else, just another app that has added their support. For those of you who Shazam a lot of your music tracks and have always wanted to buy it through Google Play, they have now added that ability to the app. So if you're fully in the Google Play music environment, that is now an option. YouTube videos are a part of the Android One rollout from last week. Was that YouTube videos can now be downloaded in offline mode in India. So because of the limited internet infrastructure, having offline mode allows a short-term ability to watch YouTube videos without an internet connection. Hopefully this rolls out soon worldwide. I'm sure there are a lot of rights issues and that sort of thing in play. I'm actually very curious to see how well this works as far as being able to use YouTube and not have to worry about security issues. PayPal Here was updated this week to now support or better support Android tablets. So if you want to accept payments via PayPal and use their Here service, that is now a little bit easier on Android tablets. If you are a Crazy Taxi fan, City Rush was released this week as a sequel of sorts to Crazy Taxi for Android, so you can now play that game as a slightly different variation and sequel to the original game. And finally, Wallaby Financial added their support for Android Wear, so if you want to get stock updates on the go, that is also an option. Or at least get an easier means of checking your stocks. As far as device news for this week, Chromecast got support for Slingbox, Twitch, and Disney, so you can now watch more online programming via your Chromecast on your big screen TV. In the related news, Android One devices started rolling out in India, so basically these are low-cost, fully featured Android devices running KitKat, and are basically your general mid-range devices from other places in the world. So they have, or I think it was something like a 4.7 inch screen, I believe 512 megabytes to 1 gig of RAM, decent enough storage, but they are priced as low, or priced in the same range as low-end smartphones, so they are more affordable and accessible to more people. And this is so far only an India rollout, but they are really, really good devices no matter what. In related news to that, though, the KitKat source code was released as well, so more developers can get their hands on that code. The YouTube story that I mentioned earlier is related to this because of the, as I said, the limited internet infrastructure. Having offline playback is definitely a good way to have that ability to watch videos and not strain the network, and also be able to download the videos on Wi-Fi and save on bandwidth costs as well. This week, a Twitter post, if memory serves, made note that the Moto X is currently not going to be available on Sprint. So if you've been waiting for the new Moto X and want it on Sprint, it's currently not an option. I think the conversation ended in that it is not necessarily out of the question that it will not be available, but at the moment, that's how it stands. In other Chromecast news, though, it is now available in Austria and Hong Kong, so it's now basically just in two more places that it can be bought. If you have a Chromebook and a Chromecast, you can now stream your videos from your Chromebook to your Chromecast through the Google Drive app. In order to do that, you'll open your files manager. You can hit the search button, type in files, or look for the blue folder that's labeled files. Touch Google Drive, and any video that's there can be streamed to Chromecast. If you have a HTC One M8 on Verizon, it got its Android 4.4.3 update, so definitely keep hitting your update button there. And finally, for the last two stories, these are Kindle related. Amazon announced two new Kindles this week, or technically it's three, I guess, but it's two different kinds of Kindles. The first is two versions of the Kindle Fire HD Kit Edition. So what this does is it builds upon the standard Kindle Fire HD, but makes it more kid-friendly. So they come in, or there's two models, one with a 6-inch and another with a 7-inch screen. It comes with a 1-year subscription to FreeTime, which basically manages, or basically puts your Kindle into this it's basically a Kindle HD in permanent kid mode, so it filters out explicit items, things that are out of their age range, and that sort of thing. So it's more kid friendly. So it's not that it's anything different about the Kindle. It's just more kid friendly. But it does come with a $50 premium over the standard Kindle Fire HD. So while you may have to pay a little bit more, that convenient, or paying that $50 more probably would save in not having to worry about your children having access to things that they should not have access to. In other Kindle news, the Kindle Fire HDX 8.9 was also announced this week. It comes with a 2.5 GHz Qualcomm processor, 2560 by 1600 pixel resolution, 12 hours of battery life, the ability to support user profile. So if you want multiple people are going to be accessing the Kindle but want their own settings, that is now an option. And it also comes now with Fire OS version 4.0. This is their version, or their fork of Android, but it now runs on Android 4.4 KitKat. So definitely look out for that. So if you want a latest version of the Kindle with the latest version, or one of the later versions of Android, then it is worth checking out. I didn't see the specific price tag, but I believe it is around the same price range as the prior models of the Kindle, but just with the new hardware specs and the new OS. The specs change, though, is about the same change as what I'm going to continue to give as an example, is from the Note 3 to the Note 4. So while it's nothing new or spectacular, it is basically just a new version, new model with new specs. So you get the latest and greatest if you buy this model. But that is all for that. So with that, after the short break, I will jump right into the app review and Chromebook quick tips. So let's say you are buying yourself a new Kindle, or you happen to order yourself a new Moto X, or if you ordered yourself a new iPhone and you want to be able to get the best possible quality sound on your new device, and be sure to check out our friends over at Tweaked Audio. They have 7 great styles and 7 great colors, so no matter what kind of device you have, it'll suit your style and your needs. So whatever, if you have a favorite color, you just want to match it to your device, that works as well. They're all noise reducing, so you hear more of what you're listening to and less of the outside world. So if you're at home watching a movie, at work, just trying to tune out your coworkers, at the gym, trying to just listen to whatever music or podcast you're listening to, then they work really great there as well. And they offer free shipping, so it's not going to cost you much extra to get them shipped to you. And when you use the promo code GEEK, that's G-E-E-K, you'll get an extra 1/3 off your order as well. So be sure to visit geek-io.com/tweaked and use the promo code GEEK to get yourself some new fantastic noise-reducing headphones and save some money as well. And show your support for the Android Realm podcast and the Geek.io network of shows. We thank them for their support, and I hope you show them your support as well. But with that, I'll jump right into this week's app review, which is the game Star Wars Commander. So, a couple weeks ago, the game was released for iOS only with no specific plans to have it released on Android. Well, this week it did release for Android as well, and it's an interesting game. It's basically your standard tower defense game. You build up your troop building, support services, various infrastructures, and basically you're building yourself up as a field general to either play a role in the Empire or part of the Rebel Alliance. I say those two specifically because the events at the moment, at least when you start the game, take place after Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. So you'll do an initial training phase, and then you'll pick which faction you want to be a part of, the Empire or the Rebels, and you'll gain your respective missions based on which side you pick, and you'll get specific upgrades and troops and all that sort of thing based on which side you pick. So definitely check it out. It is a free game. I think there are in-app purchases available as well, so if you want to faster timers and that sort of thing as well, then you can do that. But in general, the game is free to play, so definitely check it out. So that's really all there is for that. That's basically why I didn't do a full-on game review this week. There's not too much to say. It's very straightforward. Once you get through the tutorial, you build your buildings and infrastructures and how to get your revenue stream going, and then you build your troops and whatever else you need and go from there. So I'll have a link to the Google Play Store in the show notes so you guys can check it out if you are interested. But that is all for that, so with that, I'll jump right into the Chromebook Quick Tip, which this week is nothing special, it is just the camera. So, I hadn't had a chance to fully check out the camera before. I was like, it's just a camera app, what else could there be, really? Well, I don't really care why it's there. But I opened it up, so basically, once you open it up, what you're going to use it for is to, if you want to take a picture for profile pictures or whatever, you can do that. But I noticed also that, let's say you want to apply filters to your pictures, and you can do that as well. So if you want black and white, more art style, Andy Warhol style, a negative format, there's a whole bunch of different formats. Something like, I think, I didn't count, but I'll say, let's say probably a dozen to a couple of dozen different filters. So if you want to do that easily and quickly, you can do that. It also supports screen mirroring. So if you want to take a picture but want to switch the side of how things look, you can do that straight from within the app. And then it also offers a timer and multi-shot, so if you do want to take a group picture and have the timer go off, you can do that. Or if you want to set up a time lapse, then, or a brief time lapse for example, you can set up timers as well. So just pretty nifty, very basic, easy to use camera app, nothing too special. And if you want to set or at least test your camera before you do a hangout and just check your various lightings and positioning and that sort of thing, then you can do that as well without having to actually start a hangout. So it's worth checking out, nothing too special, but it's there and it's available to you. So definitely check it out if you want to have your filtered pictures and all of that good stuff. But that is all for this particular episode of the Android Realm Podcast. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. And you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01, where you can get all my latest updates and interact with me there as well. And of course, if you want to get the latest version of the Android Realm Digest or any one of my other ebooks, you can visit author.patelN01.com. and save that link to get the latest ebooks and digests as soon as they are posted. And of course, you can check out this show and more shows on the Geek.io network at geek-io.com. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.